Welcome to Holistic Manners Podcast, a podcast really designed to help you become what nature intended. We had the pleasure this morning of being with Lieutenant Governor of North Carolina, Dan Forrest. Lieutenant Governor, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for allowing me the time. It's good to be here.
It's always a pleasure being able to talk to public servants and learn a little bit more about the great states that they represent. But tell us a little bit about how you got into public service and why that's so important these days.
Well, my background is architecture, so I served as a senior partner with the state's largest architecture firm. We were actually a national firm, did work all over the country, and I did that for 20 years. And then one day I really felt just a strong calling to step into public service. Felt like my country was moving in a direction that I didn't like, and I wanted to step in and do something about it. I didn't feel like it was a very worthy cause to stand on the sideline and complain anymore, so I jumped in and never run for public office before. And so here we are serving now our second term as Lieutenant Governor, second four-year term as Lieutenant Governor of the great state of North Carolina.
Yeah, great, thanks. And one of the things that we really enjoyed and appreciated was your attraction toward high-tech and education. Yeah. And we're actually sitting in our media education room, and the first thing that I noticed that you did was come up and look at some of the tools that we have. But how does that link, and why do you think education is so important these days in advancing causes, especially in healthcare?
Kind of a loaded question there. You started off with, you know, technology and innovation. Obviously, we sit here in your Nutrition Innovation Center, which is important to me. I mean, North Carolina, as most states are, right, agriculture is the number one industry in the state. So I'm not just talking about agriculture and the future of agriculture, but agriculture innovation, you know, food innovation, this kind of notion that as human beings, we're all created uniquely. We all have unique needs, you know, from a nutrition standpoint, right? And we're just getting at the cusp right now of the point where, you know, we're using the Genome Project to determine, you know, what kind of food certain people need to eat. You tell me what your genes are, I'll tell you what to eat, and right. We're going to lead a healthy life. That's kind of exciting. That's exciting on the innovation front for food, but it's exciting for agriculture in general, right? I think right. It's going to open all kinds of doors in the world of agriculture. So in North Carolina, we're interested in growing agriculture. We're about an $87 billion industry. We want to grow it to over a $100 billion industry. We believe that, you know, food innovation, this kind of notion of, you know, what's going on, the kind of the next chapter of agriculture is what's going to drive us there. So education is obviously extremely important in that, being that we have to raise up and train up a generation of people for jobs that we're just inventing right now, jobs you're inventing right here in this facility right now. And you know, we have jobs that are looking for people for the first time in a long time rather than people looking for jobs. So it presents a very unique challenge, and the world of education has to be nimble. They have to be innovative. They have to be very efficient in the way that they take the programs and the curriculum and the content that they're teaching students and direct it towards these jobs for today and jobs for tomorrow.
Right. So the state has and enjoys three of the leading advanced institutions that represent the top 50 schools in the country. How do you see that role of these institutions in education and advancing and preparing future professionals?
Well, I mean, it's critical. It's critical that they stay on top of their game as well. You only stay on the top for so long. Everybody's shooting for you, right?
They're
aiming at that. Obviously, we have these great research campuses here in our state, the Research Triangle Park. Obviously, we have the park here that we're sitting in Kannapolis that is probably a, you know, lesser known only because it's so new. It took a long time for the Research Triangle Park to become known as well. It was a concept that was really dreamed about in the late 50s and started in the 60s and then really came into its own in the 80s. And now we're seeing the fruition of that in the 2000s. So this Kannapolis Park's the same kind of thing. And it gives tools, kind of an incubator means for these companies to come in and draw from the talent at these universities that we have around the state that are training some phenomenal people to do phenomenal things. And we don't want them just to, you know, write white papers about it. We want these professors to actually start companies and innovate by you know, creating jobs and creating innovative careers for people.
Yeah. Actually, you know, Research Triangle Park is really an impressive model for the rest of the country, and even to the point now where more and more states and cities have tried to develop their own kind of a public-private alliance and collaboration centers. And Kannapolis and the North Carolina Research Park is particularly unique in that it's really focusing on food and nutrition and the link of nutrition to health care, which is still, I think, another model just now emerging across the country. And it's fortunate enough to receive some great state support.
Yeah.
What's the background of that and what
interests? Well, again, we saw the fruits of the labors of those people that really got together back in the 60s and created the Research Triangle Park. It wasn't that Raleigh, Durham, Chapel Hill area was a hotbed of technology and research back then. It just wasn't. But when that park was created, people started to come. I don't think it was an if you build it, they will come scenario. There's a lot of thought and effort that went into that. The same with this park. And, you don't just want to throw up a random park and say, anybody that wants to innovate, come here. I think that that's the beauty behind the way that the Research Triangle Park was created. It was really about high tech and biotech jobs, and it stayed focused on that. This one's going to be about food innovation. A lot of it will be. There'll be some other things that are mixed in there too, but about food innovation. And I think that that's going to draw people from all over the country. So right down the street from Charlotte, and we already know that some of these companies that are headquartering in Charlotte now, some of these Fortune 500 types of companies that are in the food business are starting to locate to places like Charlotte. And so that will drive their R&D efforts out here down the street. And so I think you're going to see some real benefit in that. We would like to see a, for instance, a food manufacturing park as well, a manufacturing park where people actually produce these goods, not just do the R&D, but actually do production. So, I think there's a lot of hope for the future in this.
So North Carolina, probably a lot of our listeners wouldn't fully appreciate how important agriculture is to the state. Mm-hmm. But what makes that unique is, and in particular, if you look at future trends in business, you've got agriculture, you've got some of the leading medical research institutions in the country and the state here. Mm-hmm. You've got the opportunity to leverage education and bring all three together. How do you see the future really encouraging, young people and businesses to grow in the state with those three pillars?
Well, I think you're seeing it with parks like this, where you have this park that you're sitting in Kannapolis. We have the Research Triangle Park, and we also have universities that are starting to do this as well, that are attaching their kind of innovation incubator campuses. So you have what's called Centennial Campus at NC State, which is doing the same thing, and it gives these students kind of a firsthand glimpse into what they're actually. It makes their education relevant to the life they're going to be pursuing, right? So they'll come here, they'll work for your company as an intern or an apprentice, if you will. I mean, it's the newfangled apprenticeship program where we're taking students and we're not just saying, we're going to teach you in the classroom and then we're going to send you out to a job somewhere and you may or may not like that job. We're going to say, we're going to get you engaged in that maybe in middle school or high school, and then certainly in college, and you're going to be interning, you're going to be getting paid to work for these companies, and you're going to be using your education in a real practical way that helps them understand why they're spending that time and effort in school. And then they're going to be taking innovations, even that they're working on here, and taking that knowledge back into the universities as well, and transferring it to other students. So I think it's a win for everybody. And it's just kind of the way it should be. Right. When I was in the architecture world, I went through architecture school, but I worked all 5 years of architecture school in an architecture firm, and it gave me a greater appreciation for my education because I had a goal that I was shooting for when I got out.
Yeah, that's great. I think it's unrealistic to expect that state government should fund parks like this. And so I think there's a responsibility that industry should have. But can states do anything to encourage industry to be more engaged in some of these?
Well, I think what we do is what we've done in North Carolina. But we push through comprehensive tax reform here, and we continue to lower income tax, personal and corporate income tax. We have the lowest corporate income tax of any state in the country right now. We continue to remove regulations from the business world. Just telling the whole world that you're open for business is a good start.
Right.
And so that's why we've seen tremendous growth here in North Carolina, because they go, that's a good place to open my company, start my company, move my company. There's all these other ancillary things that make our state great, but foundationally, just kind of the fiscal tax policy, regulatory policy is favorable to business here right now, and so that helps.
Great. Any advice that you might give young professionals in the career of their choice to become engaged in public service or even government and public policy, or for those people who selected that area as their career choices?
Well, I would say that in this day and age where not everybody is going into the military or know somebody that's going into the military or has a family, that was always a way to serve, and my grandparents served in the military, my uncle served in the military, and I never did. I just feel like, you know, as an American, we should all serve in some capacity, and government's a good place to do that. People will often say, you know, politics is dirty business, and I think that's true, but good governance is good business, and it's good for business, and people should want to get in. If good people don't get in, then who's going to be running your country? Right. And so you should want good people to do that, and you should want to do it. You should desire to serve. It's hard. It's hard work. It's sacrificial work. And at the same time, it's valuable work. And every decision that's made in Raleigh or Washington, D.C. is impacting our lives in some way. So wouldn't you rather have your hand on it to influence how it's impacting your life? And I think that that's where young people can start to get engaged and at least pay attention and, you know what's going on. Most people don't pay attention. Most people don't know what's going on. Right. But I think it's important that we do.
Great. Well, thanks very much for your time. And maybe one last question for you on any predictions on ACC champions for this coming football season? Or?
I think I'm going to go with Wake Forest University as the ACC, as my chief of staff sits back here and is a Wake Forest grad. Right. They're probably at the bottom of the list, but I sense a Cinderella story coming on here. Wake Forest ACC champion.
All right. Always hope for the underdog. Right. All right. Lieutenant Governor, thanks very much for your time. It's always great seeing you and having a chance to talk to you and learn from you.
I've enjoyed it. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
This podcast features the song New Day by Lee Rosevere, licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution License. If you like this podcast, please share with your friends and family. And don't forget to subscribe on iTunes. We'll see you next time on Holistic Matters, where we're talking about being the you that nature intended.